This call is being recorded by the meeting organizer. By staying on the call, you are giving your consent to being recorded.
Good morning, everyone. We're going to go ahead and get started. This is Tara McLarnon with the Division of Career and Adult Education. Hopefully, if you are on the right call, you are a district, because this is the district webinars. If you are a college, that would be from the Florida College System, not one of our technical colleges. We have a call scheduled for tomorrow to specifically go over this same information, but from the college perspective. So it really is your call whether or not you choose to participate, continue participating today. But if you are with a district, we welcome you. We do apologize for the short notice in calling this webinar, but we felt that we wanted to get this information out as soon as possible. So welcome. Just a couple of housekeeping items. We have placed everybody into conference mode and muted everybody to help limit the amount of background information and inadvertently being placed on hold and hearing some very lovely morning music. So just so that you're aware of that, everybody has been muted. If you have a question to ask, we ask that you use the chat function with the webinar to send the question in writing to us so that we may address it. That is how we are going to be going about responding to any questions throughout the webinar. So with that being said, hopefully you received the materials. If you did not, you're welcome to email one of us after this and we'll be happy to send those materials out to you. I do want to state that the materials that we sent to you are not considered final. They're still in draft form. There are still some minor changes that we're making to make for formatting purposes. But the data element values, the definitions, those will not have any substantial changes. It's really just going to be the wording of some things as well as some of the notes that we add to the different data element descriptions. So we are going to work very carefully to get those final versions out to you as soon as possible, but wanted to go ahead and go through an overview of the changes. So getting started, have we started? Just give us 1 second while we get the PowerPoint working. Okay, I'm going to start. Okay. All right. Just to give you a little bit of an overview, the reason for this call is obviously the Workforce Investment Opportunity Act reporting requirements. If you are not familiar with WIOA, this is probably not going to give you the level of detail that you need to be able to understand WIOA, but it was the Workforce Innovation Opportunity Act of 2014. We provided for you the specific statutory identification for where the performance accountability measures are identified in the law. The law identifies accountability measures for all core partners. In the state of Florida, the core partners are the Department of Economic Opportunity, or DEO, Division of Blind Services, the Division of Voc Rehab, and Adult Education, all associated with the Florida Department of Education. Of course, we're also working very closely with CareerSource Florida, but they actually are not a core partner in terms of accountability and data. Oh, thank you. Nope. Oh, there we go. All right. Just so you know, in the Workforce Investment Opportunity Act, WIOA, there are two major reporting requirements. Today is to go through the data elements that we will be capturing that will enable us to do the annual performance report. This is a new WIOA with new WIOA Common Measures. This new annual report is required to be completed by each core partner and includes performance accountability targets. In addition, NRS, as you guys popularly know it, will continue to be reported. We are not aware of any current data collection changes for NRS, but there may be some additional changes when the final guidance is released. It continues to include the performance accountability targets based on measurable skills gain. You'll be most familiar with these in the Table 4 data. Okay, this is going to drive me nuts. Thank you. All right, annual performance report. This is a new reporting requirement. The annual performance report must be completed by all core partners and submitted to the appropriate federal agency. For our office, that would be Office of Career and Technical and Adult Education, or otherwise known as OCTE. This report includes six performance indicators: employment rate entered, employment rate retention, median earnings, credential rate, measurable skills gain, and employee effectiveness. The Department of Education and our office will need to adopt proposed state targets for the performance indicators, which will be adopted as part of our state plan. For 16-17, it should be noted that the only performance indicator that we will be adopting a state target for will be measurable skills gain. So of those six, measurable skills gain is the only one that we will have a proposed target for and be held accountable for 16-17 reporting year. We will still be required, however, to submit performance data for the remaining performance indicators to establish baseline performance, which will then be used to set and adopt a state target in future years. But we will not be held accountable for 16-17 performance in those other remaining performance categories. It should be noted that employee effectiveness has not yet been defined. And so we are still waiting on the final guidance on how that is, how they plan to measure that. We're very curious to see how they plan to measure that particular measure. Okay. The annual performance report, just some additional notation on that particular report. It is anticipated that on a quarterly basis, we'll need to provide an updated report on our progress to the CareerSource Board, and that will be our progress towards meeting whatever targets are established. CareerSource will be developing a dashboard to show progress toward meeting targets for each core partner. That is something that they're still in development with, but once we have more of a prototype, we'll be definitely be sharing with them, with our different agencies, to show them anticipated outcome of what that's going to look like. Just so you know, some notes on the implementation. Even though the Act passed back in 2014, the 2016-17 school year or reporting year for us is the first year of full implementation. It is anticipated that all agencies must begin reporting information for participants who enroll on July 1st, 2016 or later. This is important to note that if a student starts prior to July 1st, that the information of the, particularly the new items, do not need to be collected or implemented until that July 1st. However, once a student has started on July 1st or later, they must be collected for those students. We have created an updated sample intake form. We included it in the packet. We will also be saving this to the Adult Education Resources page once it's been finalized. In addition, because of the extensive amount of additional categories of information, we also created a supplementary guidance document with additional notation and definitions that we hope will be of some assistance in working with your intake process to collect this information. The form was updated to include the new participant characteristics identified as subpopulations in WIOA. Those are some of the characteristics that we're going to be going over today. It should be noted that if you're looking at the sample intake form, any of the items that appear in the background section of that form, which is the second page towards the top, those are all expected to be self-identified. Agencies must provide an opportunity for participants to indicate which characteristics apply. However, they are not required to require students to provide a yes or no. Simply marking a lack of selection by a participant indicates that the characteristic does not apply. So you just simply ask them the questions and let them indicate which of those characteristics apply to them, and that is all that needs to occur. There's no additional documentation or background information that needs to be collected. I did want to point out that all of this information that we're going to be discussing today as it relates to WIOA applies to any students who enroll in NRS-eligible programs. I've included for 15-16 what those programs are, so you'll see the full list of all adult ed programs offered. Those programs that are highlighted in yellow on this slide, those are your NRS-eligible programs. So for students who are enrolled in citizenship, this information is not required to be collected. However, if you have a student who's enrolled in citizenship and ESOL, it is required to be collected. It's also not required to be collected for adult high school co-enrollment students. All right, I wanted to spend a little bit of time to give you background information on those core performance indicators. These are very broad level definitions. We're still in the process of working on the business rules for how these will be calculated to come up with the various performance measures. The first one, employment rate entered. This is essentially the number of exiters during the reporting period who are employed during the second quarter after exit divided by the number of exiters during the reporting period. As I stated earlier, we will begin collecting information to report on this with 16-17 and to establish baseline performance, but we will not be required to adopt a state target until 2018-19 reporting year for this particular measure. The second employment rate indicator is about retention, and this is looking at number of exiters during the reporting period who are employed during the fourth quarter after exit, divided by the number of exiters during the reporting period. Similar to employment rate, we'll begin collecting information to establish baseline targets, but we are not expected to adopt an actual state target until the 18-19 reporting year. The next one is median earnings. This is looking at all exiters in a core program, reporting the wage that is at the midpoint of all the wages between the highest and lowest wage earned in the second quarter after exit. I will note that for a majority of these, a good bit of this employment information and wage information will be identified using a matching process with our StatTIP office. You will not be required to collect actual wage data from your participants. We'll be using other sources to determine wages. Credential rate is the total number of participants who exited and were in a secondary education program at or above the ninth grade level who attained a high school diploma or equivalent. This is also not one that we are required to adopt a performance target. However, we are required to collect the information needed to report for this measure beginning with 16-17. So that we can have 2 years worth of performance information in order to establish a state target. The last one, measurable skills gain, this is the one which we are which we will be required to adopt a state target for our 2016-17 reporting year. And this is simply looking at the number of program participants who during the program year are achieving measurable skills gains based on attainment of one of the following types of gains: literacy completion points. This would be for adult basic education, ESOL, El CATE programs, and adult high school. That would be those who are ASE low, looking at academic LCTs. Before we start going into the next sections, just a reminder, if you have any questions, Please be sure to use the questions function that they're using, the questions area, in order to ask those questions. We do have several people in the room that are monitoring those questions, so that we can be sure to address any issues or particular specific questions that you might have. Okay, I wanted to start by going over existing data elements that are already reported into WDIS, the Workforce Development Information Systems, if you're not familiar with that, and changes to those data elements based on the new guidance from the law. We're going to be covering three different data elements: displaced homemaker, employment status, and single parent and single pregnant woman. We did include the change documents in the packet so that you could see the specific changes in terms of strike through and new language being added for the different data elements. So if you want to get a complete overview of what those changes would look like, we would refer you to the packet that was distributed yesterday. Displaced homemaker is defined as whether or not a participant was a displaced homemaker at the time of entry. This is collected currently for CTE programs. Some of you who work on the Perkins side of things are familiar with this. However, beginning with 16-17, we will need to begin collecting and reporting it for adult education and CTE. There was a previous value H. That value has been broken out into multiple codes, and there are now four different codes to define a displaced homemaker. Code A would be a participant who worked as an adult primarily without remuneration to care for home or family, and for that reason has diminished marketable skills and is unemployed or underemployed and is experiencing difficulty in obtaining any employment or suitable employment as appropriate. Value B, participant has been dependent on public assistance or on the income of a relative but is no longer supported by such income and is unemployed or underemployed and is experiencing difficulty in obtaining any employment or suitable employment as appropriate. Value C would be a participant as a parent whose youngest child will be ineligible at age 16 to receive assistance under the program for aid to families with dependent children under Part A of the Title IV of the Social Security Act. Within 2 years of the parent's application for assistance under the Act and is unemployed or underemployed and is experiencing difficulty in obtaining any employment or suitable employment. It should be noted that aid to families with dependent children, that typically is identified using TANF or SNAP program, if you're familiar with those. But again, we're working on making sure that the final guidance and the definitions we have also provide some additional guidance on what programs that may indicate. The last value for identification of displaced homemaker is a participant is providing unpaid services to family members in the home and is the dependent spouse of a member of the armed forces on active duty. Whose family income is significantly reduced because of employment. And then for this value, if you have a participant who doesn't meet any of the criteria above, and that includes participants who are enrolled in non-eligible programs, you would use Z, not applicable. We did want to note that because this data element is being used for both Perkins and NRS calculations, we wanted to provide you which values would be used to identify a displaced homemaker for each of those calculations. So for CTE or Perkins calculations, a displaced homemaker would be any participant identified with values A, B, and C. And for adult education, it would be any participant identified with values B and D. Go back, please. I didn't finish. Okay. It should be noted that particularly because of the way we report data, and this will be the same kind of note to include on multiple data elements that we'll be discussing today. Status for this should be collected at the beginning of each term and semester. If a participant is enrolled in two or more terms in a reporting period, status reported should be based on the first term or semester. So if you're an agency who reports data from more than one term or semester during a reporting window, the value reported should be based on the first term of data that you are reporting into WITIS. And this will be reported on the WITIS Student Demographic Information Format. All right, the next data element that we have some edits to is for employment status. This was previously called employment status at entry. We've just shortened the title simply to employment status. This is just the employment status of a participant at time of entry in the current term or semester. This was relatively new. This was added last year, 2014-15. The value of E has updated language. Again, I would refer you to the change document to see specifically how the language has changed. But the law did amend the values for this particular data element. Value S is a new data element that was not previously available. And then value U, N, and Z, there were no major changes to those. No substantial changes to the definitions of those. So value E had some substantial changes to the language. Value S was brand new, but there were not any substantial changes to values U, N, or Z. And for purposes of time, I'm not going to read through each individual one, but if you do have questions on those, we'll definitely address those. Go ahead. This is just a continuation. Go ahead. It should be noted this particular data element only needs to be collected for adult education. Similar to displaced homemakers, status should be collected at the beginning of each term semester. And if you have more than one term or semester being reported in a reporting period, status should reflect that of the first term or semester. This is also collected on the WITIS student demographic information. The last data element that had changes was the single parent and single pregnant woman. Similar to displaced homemaker, agencies are currently collecting and reporting on this for CTE. However, beginning with 16-17, it will need to be collected for both CTE and adult education. This is defined as a participant who is a single parent or a single pregnant woman at the time of entry in the current term or semester. Go ahead. There were no substantial changes to the data element itself other than expansion of who needed to collect and report this information. So again, I would encourage you to look at the change document that was included in the packet to see what changes did occur to this particular format. As I said earlier, this would need to be collected and reported for adult education and CTE. Similar to displaced homemaker, if status should be collected at the beginning of each term of semester, if a participant is enrolled in more than one term in a reporting period, report the status for the first term or semester. And again, this is also on the WITIS student demographic information. All right, now we are going to go into new data elements being collected specifically for implementation of WIOA. There are several new data elements that will need to be collected. And so we are going to start by going through each one. Go ahead. Please be aware that all of the data elements we will be going over today are outlined specifically in the law as subpopulations, and that is where we have based the definitions and values on. So adult general education ex-offender is a new data element and characteristic that will need to be self-identified. This is defined as a person who at the time of entry in the current term or semester, the person has self-identified as having been subject to any stage of the criminal justice process for committing a status offense or delinquent act, or requires assistance in overcoming artificial barriers to employment resulting from a record of arrest or conviction for committing delinquent acts, such as crimes against person, crimes against property, status offenses, or other crimes. As you can see from the reporting values, if a student has self-identified as one of those categories, they would be reported with a value of E. If a student in an NRS-eligible program does not self-select one of those values, they would be reported with an N. And then V should be reported for any student enrolled in a non-NRS-eligible program. Just some notes. This is only required for adult general education participants enrolled in NRS-eligible programs. Similar to some of the other data elements we've already discussed, status should be collected at the beginning of each term or semester, and if a participant is enrolled in more than two terms in a reporting period, report the status for the first term or semester. This is also on the WITIS student demographic information format. All right, the next data element we wanted to share with you is the Adult General Education Literacy Completion Point Code date earned. This is the most recent date in the reporting period that the participant achieved at least one literacy completion point tied to the course in which the LCP was earned. It should be noted that the current way that you report LCPs allows you to report multiple LCPs on the same format, tied to the same record. This just needs to reflect the date of the most recent LCP if you were reporting more than one LCP, and we'll share an example in just a minute. Okay. This just simply provides the format for the date that needs to be reported. So here's an example of a student who was enrolled throughout the reporting year and earned multiple OCPs. Student was reported in ABE reading in the summer, which you reported with Survey F. During that time period linked to that course, the student earned two different LCPs, E and F. In this case, the date earned reported to WITIS would reflect the most recent one, which was LCP F, which was earned after LCP E. In the fall, when you reported your fall data, Survey W, student had not earned any LCPs. Therefore, you would leave this field blank with your Survey W data. You would not go back to reporting the most recent one from a prior survey. As the student progresses in Survey S, you're reporting both winter and spring if you have two different terms that cover that time period. So the student earned G in your winter data and S in your H data. However, because you're reporting them in the same reporting window, Survey S, they would simply reflect the most recent LCP tied to that record, which would be the one for value H. Again, this is only required for NRS-eligible programs. And as I stated earlier, if a participant is reported with more than one LCP in the same course, date reported should reflect the most recent date, and a date should only be reported if an LCP was reported in that same course in that reporting period. This will be required on the WITIS Adult General Education Student course format. An additional data element that we will be collecting is adult general education diploma date. This is defined as the date the diploma or high school equivalency was attained by the participant in the current term or semester. And again, this uses the same format for reporting dates as other data elements in WITIS. This is only required for NRS-eligible programs, adult general education, and it's reported on the WITIS end-of-term status. All right, the next data element I wanted to go over is another student characteristic. This is one that's also found on the sample intake form. This is Adult General Education Employment Barriers. This is defined as a participant perceives him or herself as possessing attitudes, beliefs, customs, or practices that influence a way of thinking, acting, or working that may serve as a hindrance to employment. Similar to ex-offender, there is a value for whether or not they meet the definition, which is C. If they are in an NRS-eligible program and they do not self-select that item during intake, then they would be reported with an N. And if they are not in an NRS-eligible program, they would be reported with a Z. This is only required for students enrolled in NRS-eligible programs. Similar to other data elements, if you collect if you report more than one term in a reporting period, status reported should be based on the first term or semester, and it does need to be collected on a term or semester basis. This would be reported on the WITIS student demographic information format. The next data element is actually a replacement of an existing data element. So current data element level of schooling adults will be retired and will be replaced with this particular data element, highest school grade completed. When we took a look at the changes required, it was significant enough to justify retiring the existing one and introducing a new data element. We did include this particular data element in the packet as well so that you could see all of the values. This is simply defined as the highest school grade completed by the participant at the time of entry in the current year. Should be noted this has to be collected and reported for CTE and AGE, and it only needs to be collected one time per year. Go ahead to the next one. Below is an example. We did not provide all of the values. That's why we included the data element in the packet. It would have been multiple slides to spell out every single grade level, so we thought we would just give you a sample of those. But if you want to see the complete list, we suggest that you look at the data element format in the packet. So examples would be 01 participant completed the first grade. That would be the highest level they completed before entering into the program for that year. Participant attained a high school diploma. And I think the draft packet that was sent out had number 20 incorrect, but has been corrected here. 20 would be participant attained an Associate of Arts. If no school grade was completed, then you would report ZZ for this student. As I said earlier, this is required for both AGE and CTE programs. It should also be noted that if a participant was educated outside of the United States, that uses a different system of leveling than we use here in the United States. You just need to determine approximate equivalent for that student. This is required on the WITIS student demographic information format. The next data element, adult general education, homeless individual, or runaway youth. This is defined as a person or participant at the time of entry in the current term or semester who lacks a fixed, regular, and adequate nighttime residence. We, in addition to collecting information through this data element, we will also be using fee status to identify participants who fall into this category. There are multiple values for this particular item. Again, this is collected at intake or through the fee status. I did want to particularly note, go ahead to the next slide, please. While the title indicates runaway youth, and you would report those students as a value of D, we did want to make note that this was not included on the sample intake form. Instead, what we are encouraging local agencies to do is develop their own defined procedures for identifying this population. We would suggest that you work with local offices because this is somewhat of a sensitive population, and there can be additional reporting requirements based on information collected. So we would suggest that you develop an alternative process other than collecting this at intake to identify these students. This is only required for NRS-eligible FRAMS, adult general education. Similar to all the other statuses, this should be collected at the beginning of each term or semester and reported based subsequently on that information. And it is reported on the WITIS student demographic information. An additional data element is adult general education migrant and seasonal farm worker. This is a participant who is identified as a migrant or seasonal farm worker at time of entry in the current term or semester. Go ahead to the next one. There are two different values depending on the type of work that the participant is involved with. And both of those have been included on the intake form to collect the information. I should note, I did not include the note here, but we will be working with our Office of Migrant Information to also look at identifying additional participants through a data match process, but that is has a limited match process because we have to have key pieces of information in order to match those students. This is required for, NRS eligible adult education programs, and like all of the other ones, status should be collected at the beginning of each term or semester, and this is reported on the WITIS student demographic information format. The next new data element is the adult general education withdrawal reason. This is simply a reason for a participant's withdrawal from adult education. Go ahead. There are multiple values which would be reported to through WITIS. It should be noted that if a particular value does not appear here, go ahead to the next one. There is a value of G, participant exited for a reason other than those identified above. For students who have, now this is intended for students who have exited adult education entirely. This is not intended for students who exit a specific course but are still enrolled in adult education. Go ahead to the next one. I did include some notes on this particular item just to clarify. A withdrawal reason should only be reported for participants who have exited adult general education in your agency. If a participant has exited a particular course or program but continues to receive instruction in another AGE program or course, NRS eligible participant should be reported with a value of N. Information reported with this data element will be used to determine eligibility for inclusion in NRS calculations. That is how we will be using this information. If you know that a participant has exited but do not know the specific reason, we would encourage you to report those students with value of G. Go to the next one. I did want to note that there is a data element called withdrawal code adult, known as 188025. This is not actually reported to WITIS, but does appear in the data element dictionary. This is not the same data element. So if you are already collecting and reporting withdrawal code, this is a new element in addition to that. If you have a way to crosswalk into that, that is for you to determine locally. However, we did want to point out this is not the same data element. For ours will be required on the WITIS end of term status. Okay. Before I go on to that is the overview of changes and new data elements. Before I go on to that, I just wanted to see if there were any questions. Have we gotten any questions? Are we only sharing the PowerPoint right now?
No, we are actually doing.
Okay. All right. So one of the questions we had was whether it was possible to print a copy of the PowerPoint after the presentation. We will send out the PowerPoint to all participants who registered for the call through an email. If not, you can contact one of us, and our contact information is at the end of this presentation, and we will be happy to send a copy of the presentation. We also had a question of what if someone refuses to complete this information? All we simply say is that you need to be sure that you ask the information. You cannot force students to select an answer one way or another because this is all self-identified information. Another question we had was whether you needed to get information for students enrolled prior to July but who are still enrolled after July 1st. The clarification on that is when a student enrolls on July 1st or after, not for students who have already started prior to July 1st. So any new student or continuously enrolled student who enrolls in a new course or section after July 1st, this information needs to be collected for them. Do the new withdrawal data elements replace the W code system? I don't believe the answer to that is, no. That is, I think, a local process. This is a new data element that is separate from that. The diploma date, how we will, oh, the question was is how will you receive the information from DOE to report a diploma date? Obviously, for adult high school, as the agency who is issuing the diploma date, you would have that locally. So I'm assuming that you are referring to the high school equivalency or GED diploma date. If you are aware of it, because the student has reported it to you or shared that information with you, then you may use that to report that for. We will have to work on providing some guidance on how you can get access to matched data through the GED match process, but I don't know that information off the top of my head.
Okay. We received one more, two more.
We had a question of whether or not we will review the withdrawal reason data element. Again, that is not one that we currently use for WITIS. That is one that is in the handbooks that you may use locally. Our data element is not intended to replace that. Our data element is separate from that data element. And then I was asked for additional clarification on when the information needed to be collected by. In terms of a student who starts. So if you have a student,
he started prior to.
No, he's the one that asked the July 1st.
The July, so they started before July 1st, but the term extends after July 1st.
Yes. So if you have a term that starts prior to July 1st, but extends beyond July 1st, students who are enrolled in that term, the new information or new characteristics do not need to be collected on those students until they enroll in the next term. If you have a new student who enrolls on or after July 1st, then the information needs to be collected for them at that point. So the information on withdrawal reason is if a student moves from one course to another. If they're still enrolled in an NRS eligible program, they would not have a withdrawal reason. This is withdrawal entirely from adult education. This is not withdrawal from course to course. All right. I'm going to go back now to the PowerPoint. We wanted to let you know that we will be doing, we will be doing some additional data reporting workshops, and this will be an integral part of those workshops to discuss the new characteristics as well as some of the new performance information. Go ahead to the next slide. So we are doing two-day data reporting workshops. It should be noticed noted that adult education will be covered during day one of those two-day reporting workshops. These will be very similar to the workshops we did last year, but obviously will contain information about new WIOA requirements, information on how to register, as well as additional information on what will be covered can be found at the following link. This is just an overview of what the data reporting workshop will look at. It is an all-day workshop, and surprisingly last year, we needed all day.
Yeah.
So we wanted to make sure we have a lot of time to go in depth into this information and to allow everybody to ask all the questions that seem to arise. These are the dates for those data reporting workshops. The first workshop will be held here in Leon County on April 25th. And then the following week will be in Marion County on May 5th. And then we will be in Broward County on May 23rd. Go ahead. Additionally, if you work very closely on the reporting side of things, the MIS side of things, we do have an upcoming MISAT4-WEED Act meeting. The WEED Act side is what would be appropriate for districts to attend. This is the Workforce Education District Data Advisory Council. The next meeting will be April 13th to 14th here in Tallahassee. Registration is required, and it should be noticed that the registration window will close on March 11th, which is very quickly approaching. If you want more information on what that meeting will entail, I've included a link. This is a very technical meeting. However, there are a lot of benefits from the programmatic side in participating, particularly if you work very closely with your MIS side of the house. Okay, go ahead. So we wanted to just do a final wrap up. Go ahead to the next slide, please. Nope, go to the next slide. Just in case you don't have an opportunity to ask a question or you have follow-up that you need or you need materials, please email one of us. Either myself, Colin, or Paul are happy to assist with that. I also included our main point of contact in our Bureau of Community College Technical Center MIS, CCTCMIS, Bruce Harrington. However, in terms of the material we covered today, that's really something that should be sent to my office if you have any additional clarifications or questions on that. We're going to look one last time to make sure that we have any additional questions. Okay, yeah, I see. We need additional clarification. Our turn begins. Give me just a minute to read this question because I'm trying to work my. Okay. So the question was if an agency's term begins before July 1st, but that agency. Report Survey F beginning with July 1st, so that's the enrollment dates that they are reporting through Survey F. Would they need to report and collect the information for the students reported in Survey F? The answer is yes. So I think what we need to do is we'll need to follow up with a little bit of guidance on the July 1st implementation and what that entails. We will try to provide some additional clarification in the PowerPoint before we send out, we post the final version of what that entails. But the key piece of that is if you have a term that starts on July 1st, the information needs to be collected for those students. If you have a student who starts on July 1st, regardless of when the term started, if you started June 30th, but the student doesn't show up until July 1st to enroll, the information needs to be collected on them. If you have a student who started on June 30th, the information does not need to be collected until the next term or period that the student enrolls in. We received a question on how to report ex-offender status for incarcerated students, how those students should be required to answer the question. Let me look really quickly. I believe the answer is those students would need to be reported as an E if they are incarcerated, which would be that they are considered to be an ex-offender, even though they're somewhat of a current offender. And then could we start collecting the information for new students now? This applies to any student who you are reporting for the 2016-17 reporting year. So if you want to implement prior to the July 1st, you are welcome to, but all agencies must implement by July 1st. But this does not need to be collected for students who are being reported for 2015-16 enrollment. This is only for students who you would be reporting with your 2016 and 17. We received a question about Department of Juvenile Justice probation, who have been in a program is in paren. I don't know the answer to that one. I would say it needs to be a local decision of how you identify those students. We can look at clarification. Yeah, I would suggest that you look through the definition. That is all the clarification that has been provided to us as well. And so it really is a local determination of if you believe that program, without knowing enough about that specific program, if you believe that program meets the definition of ex-offender. We received a question on what happens if new data fields are transmitted for non-NRS eligible programs. That's fine if you collect this information for non-NRS eligible programs. We simply, when we pull our NRS calculations of who's included in an NRS eligible program, that is the data we will be looking at. We will be looking to make sure that students in NRS eligible programs are reported with values. But if the information is reported for non-NRS, that is fine as well. When will the student data form be finalized? I don't have a specific time period. We're working very quickly to finalize all of this information. And once we get it finalized, we will let you know. However, the sample intake form is that we did provide. It is, I would say, mostly complete. We're still working on some of the supplementary information that will go with it. And again, agencies are not required to use our sample intake form. They're welcome to use it if they have another intake process, but be sure that that intake process includes all of those additional characteristics. Okay, any other questions?
No.
All right, I'm not hearing. Okay. We're going to give it just a couple more minutes in case there are any additional questions that come in. And again, you're always welcome to email myself or Colin or Paul your questions as well. Okay. We received a question about which data fields are collected once a year versus per term per year. No, if we indicate it needs to be reported once a year, but you're collecting it every term or period, that is fine. However, just make sure that on those ones that need to be only reported once a year, the status you're reporting is based on the first reported status. Highest grade level completed would be an example of that. That is just reported at the beginning of the year, and that's what that should reflect. We had a question about whether the webinar with audio would be available on our website. The audio file is actually a separate file because you guys used the call in line, the conference call in line. We will have a copy of the audio file available for anybody who requests it. A copy of the PowerPoint will be put onto our website, as well as some of the other materials that were sent out. And once we have that set up, we will let everybody know. If there, this is a last chance to ask any additional questions. If you have any additional questions you would like to ask, please type those in now. Seeing none, I just wanted to thank everybody for participating on the call. I know it was short notice, but we do appreciate you taking the time to participate. We will be doing another session this afternoon, beginning at 2 o'clock. If you have any colleagues who you believe do need to listen in, they are so welcome to register for the afternoon call. If not, everybody has a great day, and let us know if you have any additional questions that you think of at a later time. Thank you.